The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Let's try it again, shall we?
Take two.
That hasn't happened in a long time where I should say, totally screwed up the intro to the show. And, of course, you're not hearing this. Thankfully, we don't play you all the bloopers, but...
But we just tell you about them in retrospect.
That's right. Good times. Greetings, everyone. Star Wars fans all over the world. Literally. Welcome to the Forcecast, your official podcast for TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. I am Jason, and with me, as always, my best buddy, Pete.
Glad to be riding shotgun.
Well, glad to have you back for the second week.
Yeah, I feel like I've settled back into my groove.
Yeah, it's not a fluke. You're really back.
I am. This wasn't such a wide table, you could reach over and pinch me to make sure I'm real.
And we want to thank our sponsors, Official Picks. They're the ones that make this all possible. Officialpicks.com. Check them out. Of course, you know they're the official autograph vendor for Celebration 4. So you'll be seeing a lot of them over the five-day extravaganza if you're heading that way. And I know we are.
It's official. Can't wait. Can't wait.
I'm already having the nightmares, by the way.
You're showing up at the airport. You don't have pants on, that type of thing.
No. Like,
I'm trying to downplay
it. Like the airplane is hurtling towards a mountain. That's pretty much it. Well, yeah, I'm not a good flyer, and, well, you'll find out. You've never flown with me before.
This may be the last time.
Be like, keep eye contact with me the entire time.
I may be trying to exchange tickets on the way back. Is there any way I could not sit next to him?
Well, it's too late. Oh, my gosh. Well, what are we going to do? Let's start off with some quick hits here. This first story is kind of interesting. Of course, as you know, if you check out StarWars.com often enough, they do these profiles on various celebs that are Star Wars fans. And this was on a guy, I don't know who he is, I don't watch soap operas, Josh Morrow. Well, that really wasn't the interesting part. The interesting part was that Josh is taking part in this Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, the pro celeb race.
Right.
And now, a couple of weeks ago, we got an email from a listener that said that that they were listening to the Howard Stern show, and Robin Quivers is also taking part in this race, and she had a lot of things to say about just hanging out with George and how fun and down-to-earth and cool he was. And so in this particular interview that StarWars.com did with Joshua Morrow, he pretty much says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason I bring it up is there's this great picture of this Josh guy and George looking just casual as anything. And George's hair is all messed up, and he's got his big aviator Tom Cruise Top Gun sunglasses on. And but what's really cool is he's wearing a Han Shot First t-shirt.
That's outstanding.
From StarWarsShop.com, which I think is really cool.
Shows that he has a sense of humor about the whole thing.
Yeah, and that he's aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by having that t-shirt, obviously, he knows, what's this about? You know? So I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if this thing is already... it's already happened, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know if it was on TV or not. I'd like to have seen it. But I guess... I think I heard that George crashed in it, or at least in one of the
prelims.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine. No injuries or anything, but... Isn't that
because they have restrictor plates on them? They're like go karts. They can only go 25 miles an hour.
Actually, I don't.
No, these things are the real deal.
Yeah, they are.
They drive pretty fast. So
that's why these millionaires, you know, pay lots of money to darn near kill themselves.
Yes.
But also wanted to bring your attention our good buddy John Scolari, who over at Dreams and Visions Press, who's working tirelessly on the Art of Ralph McQuarrie book. this incredible collection of Ralph's work. He wanted to let us know a couple of updates. The first is that pretty much he thinks by the time this show goes live that the deluxe boxed leather-bound editions are going to be sold out. So, but, you know, it's still probably worth checking at dreamsandvisionspress.com to see if they are.
Because you can always get on the wait list.
Right. And that's the thing. He wanted to let us know, you know, let you all know to get on the wait list. The second thing is, and this was very, very cool. Apparently, he had they were spending some time with Mr. McQuarrie and his wife celebrating the arrival of the first copies of the book, which is a big deal, you know, they come in. And he just wanted to pass on a quote from Ralph after he had a chance to look at the book. And he says, Ralph said, "I cannot think of a more impressive end to my career than this book. It's fabulous. It's beyond my wildest imagination." And John says, "You know, no offense to anybody, but no feedback we receive from here on out will make us any more prouder than that." And I tell you, man, when I read that, I got a little verklempt.
Yeah, it you know, because there's so many things that go into that quote, especially, you know, for me, it was him saying it's an impressive end to my career. Now, his career has been over for quite some time.
Yeah.
But to hear somebody actually say that, it's.
It yeah, right.
Makes you kind of choke up a little bit and go, gosh, it is truly over. And something beyond his wildest imagination has got to be something out of this universe, because there's nothing that I can think of that hasn't gone through that guy's mind. So,
well, and our good buddy Jimmy Mack was kind enough to send along a few clips of the man, Ralph McQuarrie. So here they are.
He had a concept for a big, spectacular visual, and it didn't come across in the script. So I tried to give it scale, juxtaposing the tiny little figures with the great spectacular backgrounds. George would say, "Don't worry about how we're going to do it. We just want to see an impression of what the scenes would look like on the screen."
Don't worry how we're going to do it. Yeah, we'll fix that later.
Well, and that's the best way to start, you know. You
can't, yeah, right.
You don't want to limit yourself, and thankfully he didn't, because all of that came through in the final product.
And most likely, you know, had it not been for Ralph McQuarrie, George may never have gotten that film sold. Because really, there's just no, there at the time, and it's hard for us to imagine that period of time, but there was nothing really to compare it to.
No.
And so if had it not been for Ralph to be able to distill George's vision down on something tangible, he would never have been able to communicate. It was very abstract for people at the time.
Absolutely.
And also wanted to draw your attention, speaking of this, that Jay Shepard has updated kind of breaks down the different versions of this book. Now, there's the trade edition, which is the base model of the book. It's bound in silver-stamped black Dynic Sifu cloth. Okay. Sounds like a Sith Lord, Dynic Sifu. It comes with a dust jacket and illustrated slipcase. It's unsigned, and it's about $125. So, you know, the price of admission into this book, period, is $125. The next step up would be the cloth-wrapped slipcase edition. It's limited to 250 copies, bound in the gold-stamped Dynic Sifu cloth. With a full color illustrated inlaid art strip in a black, again, Dynic Sifu cloth wrapped slipcase. We're just going to call this cloth, okay? They're individually numbered and hand signed by Ralph McQuarrie, Doug Chang, and Ken Ralston. And that's going to be about $300. And then the one that John was talking about being sold out is the deluxe presentation box edition, only 52 copies. It is bound in the in gold-stamped genuine black sheepskin with a dust jacket and a deluxe presentation box. Each book is individually lettered and hand-signed by Ralph McQuarrie, Doug Chang, Ken Ralston, and Anthony Daniels. $750. So, yeah, that's. But I tell you, it. I got to get one of these.
Yeah, it's something that I just have to have for my collection.
Yeah.
You can't let an opportunity like that pass by, because if you don't get it, it's not like there's going to be another one produced at any time.
And there have been a lot of these great books. I mean, Sculpting a Galaxy, and it comes to mind, Dressing a Galaxy. But this one, for some reason, I don't know, kind of touches me. I think it's because we've been following John on this journey with Dreams and Visions Press, and he's been keeping us up to date. And I don't know, I feel kind of invested. So
absolutely.
And I think it also harkens back to, I mean, I guess the only thing I could compare it to is if you could get a book with all of George's original, you know, handwritten notes and journal entries and everything as he was working on the various screenplays.
Right.
Over time. So
I believe one was given to Comic Book Guy a couple weeks ago.
That's right. Right here on the Forcecast.
Yes.
By George Lucas. So anyway, this is very cool. And as far as keeping us up to date, our buddy Chris Mocht has let us know that now Chris is the fellow that's behind the fan film The Force Among Us. You can take a look at what that's all about at theforceamongus.com. But he wrote us and just wanted to let you know that the crew just got back from doing some filming over in Finns, Norway, where, of course, the Hoth sequences were shot on location for Empire Strikes Back. And so they were actually to get some footage of the hotel. Of course, that's a famous story. Irvin Kershner, you know, and crew, there was such a blizzard that came in, they couldn't get out to film. And so for a lot of the production, particularly the scenes where Luke is running away from the Wampa, they actually just opened the door to the hotel. And what a great scene. You know, they're all toasty warm in this hotel. And there's poor Mark Hamill out there, you know, several yards, you know, in the distance, freezing his tail off as they capture this footage. Well, some of this has been captured for the Force Among Us documentary. We actually have a clip from their trailer. This is Dustin Roberts, who is featured in the film, and he's talking a little bit about growing up as a Star Wars fan.
Had the toys, you know, we'd play outside, we'd role play. I remember one time we actually, me and a friend of mine, Jimmy Thomas, we lived in California, and we found some hockey helmets at a yard sale. And this was right around the time when Return of the Jedi came out. So we took them home, we painted them olive army green, and we became, you know, rebel soldiers.
And yeah, look for that, The Force Among Us to premiere May 25th. And again, their website, theforceamongus.com. Well, you know, several weeks ago, we had the pleasure of interviewing Matt Bush and Tom Hodges. And Pete, you've actually, have you interviewed Matt twice?
No, I've actually interviewed Tom twice.
Tom twice. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Matt and Tom are the illustrators of the You Can Draw a Star Wars book that we've talked about here on the Forcecast several times. Well, Matt has a fantastic start of a little documentary series at StarWars.com in support of the book. And in this first edition, this first episode, he kind of gives you a little tour of his studio and really breaks down some of the fundamentals that you need to start drawing Star Wars, namely a flat writing surface. And it's very funny the way he does it. You know, a pencil, a regular number two pencil, and a piece of paper. And he goes into talking about how he had always just drawn at the kitchen table. And so, of course, once he became a professional artist, he got the great drafting table that, you know, you can put it in multiple different, you know, positions and angles and everything. And he says 9 times out of 10, he just sets it up like a flat kitchen table because that's the way he learned how to draw.
That's where he got it.
So it's definitely worth checking out over at StarWars.com. Matt's a really nice guy, and it definitely comes through in this video. So he's going to be a great tutor as you learn how to draw Star Wars. Now, you know, there are this next to it. There are Star Wars parodies, and then there are Star Wars parodies. And I guess, you know, hey, different strokes for different folks, but
right.
This one is really funny.
Pure gold.
Yeah, it's called The Real Episode 3 Parody, and it's over at YouTube, and we've got a clip. It's almost like South Park, the way it's animated.
It's South Park animation meets Napoleon Dynamite dialogue.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Fantastic.
That's exactly it. You can actually hear the guy pitching the story. All right, picture this. It's South Park meets Napoleon Dynamite. It's going to be gold. Well, you know, when you pitch in Hollywood, everything is this meets this yes. meets that, you know. But anyway, we're going to have the link on our show notes. And here's just a clip. What basically what they do is they do the entire story of episode 3 in just a, you know, a minute or two. It's very funny. Check this out.
Mace told me to spy on you.
I don't think you were supposed to tell me that.
Oops. So are you, like, evil or anything?
No, the Jedi are. The Sith are nice.
You're a Sith?
Yeah.
So you, like, train Darth Maul?
Yeah.
Sweet, that guy's awesome.
And, of course, that guy is awesome. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good clips that we could have played.
Yes.
But that's one of the best. And it just fits. Like Grievous, instead of, you know, of course, having the invisible hand, it's a van. it's very...
Check it out. It's worth the 2 minutes that you it would take to watch it. It's definitely worth it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Now, last week we talked about Joey Fatone doing a little Star Wars tribute with his lovely dance partner. Her name escapes me, but
Kim.
I can picture her now.
Kim with a Y.
Kim with a Y. Why? I'll tell you why.
Why? Because I love that outfit.
Well, anyway, actually, George Lucas has commented on this. He apparently saw it, and he said he was a little disappointed in Joey's performance, but his lack of vision in the costume area.
Your lack of vision.
George says that basically... That, you know, he says, I like the pick in the costumes, at least his partner's pick, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Lucas told People magazine at a press event in Long Beach while he was there for the aforementioned pro celebrity race, the Toyota pro celebrity race. He says, but he cheated. He took the robe off and had a suit underneath. I mean, come on, he should have had a little Jedi outfit on.
I don't know if the judges would have gotten it.
I don't know, but I tell you what, when the man himself says... Yes.
I think that's worth more points than he would have gotten on Dancing with the Stars, I'll tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that George spoke his name. Of course, it makes you wonder. Remember the rumor about the NSYNC guys being in episode 2?
I do remember that, yes.
I don't know if that was up there with the Charlton Heston playing Yoda. Or, you know what? Is the jury still out on that? Were they actually in the Geonosis battle?
I don't believe they were, but they've always kind of been ambiguous about it because there's...
They could be.
They could be. There's so many people in that that scene.
Yeah.
In the Geonosis arena that
right.
It's possible they could have been Jedi that got chopped in half.
Well, we know that Joey Fatone is a big Star Wars fan. Here's a clip of him commenting.
Well, you guys definitely got a great reaction. And you actually, I hear, have a connection to Star Wars. You obviously had R2-D2 there.
I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. Me and my brother grew up, you know, watching the movies, obviously, and sword fighting, you know, lightsabering and stuff. But we've done some stuff with Lucas, and we graciously actually helped us. So I'm just a huge fan, and I thank them. So cool. Can't complain.
So there you go. So he's
done some stuff with Lucas. Yeah, who knows?
What does that mean? Well, but he's getting a little public spanking in here from the maker. Oh my! Well, that's about it for sort of the
hodgepodge.
The hodgepodge. Yeah, that's what we'll call it.
Yeah,
no apologies this week.
Well,
we were wrong about nothing last week.
Well,
apparently.
I do have to give an apology of sorts.
We do
before we leave. I used the word inveritable in the microcast this week, and I actually did make it up. It is not a real word. I meant to refer to Jimmy Mack as the invariable, meaning he is the constant behind the microcast and taking care of the audio for me. But I called him invariable, which now is being defined as an awesome audio mixer who's behind the microcast because it's my show and I can make up whatever words I want. So I do apologize for any of you out here went invariable?
It sounds like a word, though.
It does sound like a word.
If I wouldn't have got Jimmy's email, I'd have been like,
well, and,
okay.
And I actually was going to call him out and say, I didn't say that, but then he included the audio clip of me saying it, and I couldn't argue anymore. So.
Yeah, never argue what you said with yes. Jimmy Mack, the guy that's actually producing your show.
Right, he goes, oh, I know you said it, so.
The following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, "Help TD0013, help those with multiple sclerosis." This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
Well, yeah, that's it.
We got 6 weeks to go. 6 weeks to go.
You pulled that out awfully fast.
And of course, who knows if it's even right. I'm pretty sure we're right on this, but you know, I've got that crazy calendar.
Well, no, I gotta tell everybody, we're sitting here, we're listening to...
And I've been doing this for how many weeks
straight?
We're
listening to TK0013 on his MS Walk, and the promos are about halfway over, and I look over at Pete, and I said, "You got a tip for this week?" And his eyes get the size of dinner plates.
Of course I do.
Well, do you know how many weeks? He's like, "I will in a minute."
Hold on.
We're at 6 weeks,
we're
right?
We're at 6 weeks, and I do have a tip for this week. And this is one of those ones that I'd rather you not even really listen to, because...
What, because you just made it up?
I just made it up. No, there are so many portable game devices that you can have, and it's a great way to pass the time, and even your iPod is a great way to pass the time, you know, because you can do video iPods and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But what we've talked about is the great sense of community that there's going to be at C4.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're talking to people. And if you're playing your Game Boy, if you're playing your DS Lite, if you're doing your PSP, if you're watching a movie, you're not really talking to the other people. So bring those, because you're going to need them on the plane ride. You're going to need them on the way back. But when you're standing in line, unless all the people around you have just ignored you and won't engage you in conversation... Don't pick those up, because you know you're going to want to talk to people. And if you are in a situation where there's people that aren't talking to you, you know, just start screaming, "I need to talk to the Forcecast guys." I'll find out where you are. I'll come over and I'll chat with you for a little
bit. We'll come over and we'll keep you company. I would say that the one exception to that rule would be is if you have, you know, if you have the films.
Yeah, true.
Because as we know, there's only going to be one opportunity in the course of the 5 days. Well, let's make that 6 days to actually see the films. So you're pretty much on your own to actually experience the movies while you're, of course, celebrating the anniversary of a movie.
Well, and if you have to do them on your iPod, and if you want to let, like, 20 other
people
crowd around.
Yeah, well, that's what was going on at C3 a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they had these portable DVD players, so...
So anyway, as long as it's Star Wars related, you can do it, you know, even some of the games and stuff. But if it's not Star Wars related, leave it at the door.
That's right. Nobody wants to see it. Now, this is kind of interesting. This is a new promotion going on with StarWars.com and Celebration 4. What they're doing is they're having auditions on YouTube, just a 90-second clip that you'll upload to an account at YouTube to audition to show off your Star Wars talent, whatever it might be. Like, the picture is this crazy guy with these puppets. I don't even really want to know what that's about. But anyway, and then, you know, they're going to be combing through these, and you might get picked to actually display your talent on the main stage at Celebration 4. So that's kind of cool.
Star Wars and Idol. Picture this. Wars and American Idol. Meets Dancing with the Stars.
What's going on with the guy, the Han Solo guy with the bizarre top hat?
It looks somewhat like some sort of stage performance.
He wants to sing and dance in the Pirates of Penzance, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, hey, Pete, why don't you tell him about some of the artist talent?
Well, as you should know by now, there is going to be a gigantic art show of a lot of the great Star Wars talent that's out there as far as artists go. And there's going to be lots and lots of artists. At this point, it looks like there's going to be over 50 artists that are going to be there. And luckily, we have a few that listen to the show, and I have to give a thank you to Kat Staggs, who's going to be there. And I contacted Kat about coming on the show, and she said, you know what, why don't we wait till around C4, and we can do a bunch of the artists and kind of, you know, start talking about this art show. So coming in the next few weeks, I will be doing interviews with several of the artists. And several of the artists. So make sure you're listening for the microcast to drop and those types of things, because we're going to be bringing out information. And if you haven't checked out StarWars.com, they do have a list of some of the artists, the first round of artists that are going to be there, and a preview of some of their specific prints that they're going to be doing for the show. And I'm salivating already, and I'm thinking, all right, how much do I have to spend? Because there's just some really great art there, and. You know, I can have a whole room of it and still not feel complete, and
you're actually giving money directly to the artist, which
right.
is very cool too.
Yes.
So it's helping them out a lot, and you're going to get a great original piece.
Yes.
How many weeks?
We have 6 weeks to go.
Unbelievable. 6 weeks to go to Celebration 4. It's a celebration.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
Okay, if you don't want a gift, at least let me buy you a beer or lunch or something.
When Han Solo returns to the Death Star in the Millennium Falcon and shoots down the TIE fighters and saves the Rebel cause, do you think he does so for a free beer?
The galaxy is listening.
Oh, you know what that means. It is time for another Indiana Jones update. Pete, you wanted to unveil a new bad impression for this.
Well, you see, Jason, I'm kind of an old man, and I can't be running around chasing around these people. You're going to have to pay me a lot of money.
But, you know, Sir Sean Connery. Now, he is
He
Sir.
Is knighted, yes.
Yes.
Oh, we forgot that apology.
That's right.
But anyway.
Yeah, well, we could... All right. Ian, long story short, folks, last week we weren't sure about whether or not Ian McDiarmid was knighted, whether he was Sir Ian McDiarmid. Turns out, he's not. And we got this email from a listener saying, well, you guys forgot about Alec Guinness. Well, we really didn't. We were talking about live people that we could interview.
we want to get
a knight on the show. It's one of our goals. Anyway, so... We digress.
What are you going to have me on the show?
I don't think so. If he's holding out on George Lucas, he's definitely going to be holding out on us.
Yes.
We don't have that kind of bread. But apparently, Sean is not necessarily over the moon about doing Indy 4. He wants to see the money first.
Well, I'm retired.
And, yeah, he is retired. Now, George says that he is trying to get him to commit. But there's a kind of a column over at Cinematical.com where the guy's saying, you know what? We got to get Connery. We got to get them all of them. We got to get John Rhys-Davies. We got to get Kate Capshaw, Karen Allen. You know, have George Lucas somehow reanimate River Phoenix. we want everybody in this movie because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be huge. And we want to celebrate, you know, the legacy of this film. It's going to be the last time we probably are ever going to see this character, you know, again on the big screen. So, at any rate, it's interesting when you look at this because, of course, Sean Connery being, the original James Bond, they lured him out of, not nearly retirement, but retirement from playing James Bond back in 83.
Mm-hmm.
And he commanded this huge paycheck and ended up giving most of it to a charitable organization.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He actually did that with two Bond films. He was lured out of Bond retirement two different times. The second time he probably should have stayed, but nonetheless, you know, it was kind of cool. So I think they're going to probably make this happen. But I tell you, when I saw the tribute to him, the AFI tribute, I guess that would have been last summer. You know, it kills me because I know I'm a big Bond fan, of course, big Indiana Jones fan. I just love Sean Connery, and he's just looking a little frail these days. So whatever role he's going to get is probably going to be, I would imagine, pretty limited. But he's got to be there, you know?
Yeah, he certainly does have to be there. And, hey, you know, I don't want George to go out there and go, look, either you come and do this character or I'm going to CGI you into the film.
All right. Well, I guess back in January, he said that he would perhaps be in the movie, but he's got script approval. Well, you're right. Sean Connery. You can have script approval on Spielberg and Lucas.
Right.
You're Sean Connery.
I thought he would have cast approval even, you know.
I was making movies when you all... Never mind, I won't finish that thought.
Well, I don't like that Kate Winslet. She talks in her sleep.
That's actually pretty good. I think we might have to have some good impressions on here. Anyway, there's your Indiana Jones 4 update. Check it out. We'll have the links on our show notes to the story. Will Sean Connery return? It's anybody's guess. We got lots of Star Wars news. Let's punch it.
I have good news for you, my lord.
Hey, that's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, your headlines for this week. First one here, USPS R2-D2 and C-3PO standee. They're starting to show up. These are exclusive cardboard cutout standees of everyone's favorite protocol droid and his astromech counterpart. We know we've got one here in the downtown Canton area.
Yes. Luckily, we continue to score these these limited items.
Yeah, well, at least we're scoping them out, at least. We haven't actually retained any. And I don't think very many people, with the exception of Steve Sansweet and a few lucky postmaster generals around the country, are going to be scoring any of these because, according to a reader over at theforce.net, David, he says, hey, just wanted to let you guys know that the post office might not be auctioning off the standees when the promotion is over. On the back, there's a sticker that says that this stand-up must be destroyed by the end of the business day, May 26th. And it said it was the promotions department's duty to cut it into pieces. Now, for those of you that are prone to think that this is kind of a hoax, where it's guys saying, don't bother looking for these, because they won't have them. And meanwhile, he's out, you know, collecting them all.
Getting them all.
Right. This is true. And I know this just from working at, in my college days, working at a movie theater when Episode 1 came out. We had a policy there at the theater where, you know, they would take the one sheets down, the movie posters and the standees, and they would just put them in the break room for the staff. And if you happened to be working that day when they took something cool down, you got to, you know, walk home with it. That all changed when the teaser poster came in for Episode 1. And it said plain as day on the mailing tube that this was to be displayed from this period of time and that period of time, and it was to either be destroyed. In some cases, they were to be destroyed, or some cases, they were to be sent back. And, you know, it bothered me back then, and it still bothers me a little bit now.
Yeah, especially when this is a promotion talking about eBay.
That's true. It's a joint promotion with Star Wars, USPS, and eBay, of all things. But I guess what kind of irks me about it a little bit is that, I mean, why not create a spectacle over
this
thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And auction it off or you know, do something local, maybe some kind of local charity connection, rather than, you know, something on a national scale. There's lots of different things you could do, or just have a raffle for it.
Sure.
You know, for the people that show up to buy the stamps. You know, there's a lot of different things you could do instead of destroying it. It just, I don't know. It just is that kind of, oh, it's the big, bad Lucasfilm monster, you know. Rawr. And it really shouldn't be that way, because some of the most devoted collectors and some of the most interesting collections, therefore, are some of these, you know, kind of non-traditional items, these things that aren't necessarily mass-produced in terms of you know, retailing them in stores. So, I mean, it should be more than just the Steve Sansweets of the world, frankly, that get these cool items.
Right.
If I may be so bold.
I have standees that I have purchased. It would be a great addition to my collection.
Yeah, you would benefit greatly in your fantastic Star Wars museum there in the natal abode.
Yes, well, limited admission for $5.
But, you know, I hope that these do get in the hands of real fans. And I understand that the flip side is that they don't want these things to be kind of held ransom. And
sure.
You know,
and or to show up on eBay by somebody who
right.
is just going to keep the money for themselves.
Right. I mean, I think the idea should be that these really ought to get in the hands of real fans. And,
sure.
I would hope that if I were to get one, I wouldn't run and put it on eBay. I'd want to keep the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't think there's probably that many. I mean, 200 or 300 at the most, as far as if I remember right. That's how many R2s there were going to be. So,
right.
Yeah, this might be a little more widespread than that, but still relatively limited. And I don't know if you've had a chance. This came up I think within the last day or so, but. Yeah, this goes back to me kind of eating crow a little bit about giving the guys at LucasArts a hard time about, you know, I don't want to wait another 6 months for the game
mm-hmm.
for Force Unleashed. But I tell you, after seeing this demo, I'm like, yeah, I'll wait right. till you get this.
If you want to get this perfected, I'm down with that.
So this is Pete and I just showed this to Pete before we decided sat down to cut the show. And this, if you go to StarWars.com, there's a QuickTime video. Of where they're actually demonstrating this digital molecular matter that was created by Pixelux Entertainment and Euphoria. And the digital molecular matter is one component, and then Euphoria is the other. But this is really demonstrating the digital molecular matter, which essentially allows game designers to give unique physical properties to different materials. In the demos that they use on the video, they're doing wood, and they show the traditional way. Pete, you might want to describe. I mean, you're more of a gamer than I am. The traditional way that these things break.
Well, anybody who's a veteran gamer, for the most part, when you break something, it usually breaks in the same manner every time. You know, so if you break windows, if you're going down the street breaking windows, they're going to break in the same way every time, no matter what angle you're shooting at them, no matter what you are shooting at them, they're going to just burst out in the same way.
Right.
And what this demo kind of goes over is, here's how wood usually breaks in most games. And it shows, the demo of it going from different places and then hitting the wood, and the wood breaks the same way every time in the same pattern. And that type of thing.
And they said even in most next-gen games that's been the way that it is.
Right. Because it just hadn't been there yet. Now here comes DMM, mm-hmm. and digital molecular matter. I'm being techno guy now. DMM. So, but they show a demo of, and it's great because they're hurling little R2s at this piece of wood. But it's amazing because it breaks in so many different ways, and it breaks based on where it gets hit, on how hard it gets hit, on how hard the wood is, on all sorts of different things. So it's going to change the way the gameplay is, and it's going to give you a new dimension of things. And one of the great things about playing video games is making it do things that you have never seen before.
Right.
You know, where you kill some guy the way... You go, oh, watch this, and you know, you do a backflip and land on their head and smash them through the ground, something like that. But this is going to allow you to do great things, and you may just spend all day hurling stormtroopers into a piece of wood because you want to see how it breaks.
Well, you know, I was looking at this and I was like, you know, there's not a lot of wood in the Star Wars universe, but still, I get the idea. I get the idea, and in fact, right. What's cool is that towards the end of the video, they actually change the wood type. They go from a thin kind of, you know, piece of wood to a thicker board, and it, you know, breaks completely, you know,
completely
in a different way.
Yeah.
And I guess what this is about is giving you a way to keep coming back to the game. And not only is maybe the storyline going to be different, but the environment reacts differently.
Sure.
So, I mean, that really, you know, you don't think so, you know, it makes more sense to spend $60-$70 on a game when the lifespan of it is going to be increased to such an extent that it's really a different game literally every time you play it.
Yeah.
So I bow down to you guys at LucasArts. It's worth waiting for, and that's what they said. So now we're going to cover this in our Celebration 4 update, but we almost ran out of music bed, so
so it gets pushed back a little bit.
Last week we were talking about the Celebration 4 exclusive figures of 3PO and R2. We actually have a little clip of Ralph McQuarrie talking about 3PO.
3PO is to look like the Metropolis robot, only a boy. And I made an illustration showing 3PO and R2 coming across the desert, and you could see their space capsule in the background.
Well, that scene is going to be captured in plastic by the folks at Hasbro, and it's going to be a two-pack Celebration exclusive. And there was a story that ran on Rebel Scum where I guess the card back had mentioned the Macquarie concept Luke. And so everybody goes, wait a minute, is this the card back for the 3PO and the R2, or is this, you know, is there going to be a Luke exclusive? And so our own Dan Curto broke in on Rebel Scum and said, you know, despite what this reads, this is an error. And in fact, it is going to be the R2 and 3PO. It's not the Luke, but there will be a Macquarie concept Luke in Wave 5 of the 30th Anniversary Collection of Figures. Well, guess what? We were all right the first time.
The which keen is one observers.
Of those, yeah, which is one of those good guess whats.
Yes.
In addition to the exclusive R2 and 3PO, there is going to be an exclusive Macquarie concept Luke as he looks in that famed concept drawing of him dueling with Darth Vader, which I always thought was from Empire Strikes Back, so excuse me. but apparently it was a concept piece for Star Wars, and where he's wearing the yellow jacket and he's got the gas mask. Is it a yellow jacket?
I think it's blue.
Or a blue jacket, yeah. Right.
And he's got kinda the
kind of looks
gas
like Han's
mask.
Jacket in Empire, actually, yeah. A little bit. And he's got the gas mask on, so I mean, that's great news. I mean, so we got these two exclusives.
Yeah. And they'll both be at Celebration 4 in the States and Celebration Europe as well. They'll both be available there.
So I like the fact that they're kind of spreading the wealth. I think a certain mole tells us that the original plan was to have one of the exclusives be for Celebration 4 and one be for Celebration Europe. And then the decision was made at some point to just go ahead and let both cons get both figures or both exclusive sets.
Good news for us.
Absolutely. And you got to take a look at it at rebelscum.com. It's a great figure. These Ralph Macquarie concept figures are just fantastic.
They are. I finally got my Macquarie concept Stormtrooper.
Did you get it?
I finally did, and it you know, there had been one released prior but that I had missed on, so I was very happy to get this one in it. And it is outstanding, and it's such a different flavor for the Star Wars collection. So
yeah,
I'm very excited about the exclusives, and I can't wait to get my hands on both of them.
Not to jump off topic too much, but I'll tell you what really excites me is I've mentioned on the show many times that my days of going to the stores every week, twice a week, three times a week are over. I've done my bid for King and Country. I just prefer to mail order everything. I mean, believe me, folks, I'm a road warrior. I mean, I went through that phase where I got up every morning and hit Walmart and Target and KB and Toys R Us and sometimes several Walmarts and dealing with the Hot Wheels guys in the mornings, you know?
Yes.
So I've been there and done that, and so I choose to mail order my figures. But in the last few days, my wife and I, we've been doing a lot of work around the house, and so consequently, we're always running to Target. And of course, I always check. Always check.
If I go into any store, I'm making sure they have a toy aisle, and then I check it out.
But I want to say, to your credit, you actually do probably at least one toy run a week.
Yeah, at least.
So, but you pretty much collect the ones that you like.
Sure. And
a lot of times when I get my cases, there's not doubles of ones that you want. So, and in the case of the Macquarie, you know, it's a good thing you found them.
Yes.
But getting back to my point somewhere.
Getting back to your off-topic point.
Right, yeah. What I'm really enjoying is how many young kids I'm seeing through the pegs. And I don't mean just once or twice. I mean every time I'm in the aisle, there's a couple of kids, they look like probably brothers or whatever, you know, and Star Wars, and they go and they look, and yes, they're looking for common characters. They're looking for Luke. They're looking for Vader, or they're looking for Anakin or whatever. But it is so cool to see that.
It is fun.
You know, and George, crazy like a fox.
You know,
I think he hooked another generation. I think he did.
And I always make sure I kind of step out of the way so that they can get in front of me. You know, and I resist the temptation to go, do you know who I am? I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. And then they turn around and go, what's an iPod? And I go, damn it.
No, it's
always a lot of fun. And you know,
you ever helped out the clueless mom?
Oh, yeah. Standing there and going, no, this is the one they're looking for.
Right.
And they go, how do you know this? Like, do you know who I am?
Well, actually, now the moms are like our age. So.
Yeah, I know.
The clueless moms. Oh, see, we are dumb,
yes.
But we are not so dumb. Oh, my gosh. Well, while we're on the topic of Hasbro, Toys R Us is getting an exclusive. You can pre-order it now at ToysRUs.com. This is going to be kind of a souped-up version of the TIE Interceptor. It'll sport the red stripes of a double ace and comes with... Pete, tell him what exclusive action figure?
It comes with, I'm thinking, and now there isn't confirmation of this, but it appears that it's going to be Baron Soontir Fel, who is the leader of the 181st Empire Flight Group. And you may want to keep your ears peeled to see if you could do that. I don't know. If Baron Fel may show up on one of the EU microcasts.
Oh.
Give a little background on that. So keep an eye peeled, I guess.
Now it's rumored that it's just rumored at this point that he could possibly a descendant of his is Ronfell, who is the emperor, well, sort of the dethroned emperor in the Legacy comic series.
Absolutely. And it kind of fits. So we'll have to see. Maybe there'll be some clues in the and the character profile.
Maybe there will be. Well, we'll definitely be waiting for that. But this is cool. I mean, this is a
completely EU thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, for all the years of us moaning and bellyaching about not having EU characters, I mean, we're getting them in droves.
Yeah, they're coming down the pipes quick.
From concept characters to the two packs, the comic two packs, to now this, which is kind of interesting. I mean, this is really... the first that I can recall of an EU character with a vehicle.
Yeah, and even an EU vehicle outside of the droids.
Right. So this is good news for collectors. I'm not a big vehicle guy, so I'm... I'm going to have to get it because I got to get on the
vehicle. Yeah, well, you know, and of course...
I love pack-in figures on the vehicles.
That's my favorite, is the TIE Interceptor.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great vehicle.
Because it's dual function. It can be a TIE Interceptor, or the wings can be your little blasters.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I like the dual function
vehicles. You made them phaser guns.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, another kind of facet of this that sort of broke this week is some rumors.
Rumors galore.
Rumors are stirring about what Hasbro has in store for 2008. I know there's listeners out there going, why are they talking so much about Hasbro? Because really nothing else is going on this week, folks. So
there is crickets chirping in when we said, what's the big news?
Yeah. I mean, we're all kind of waiting for the news to really start breaking on Celebration 4, some of the key moments that I think we're going to hopefully have, just haven't broken yet. Got 6 weeks. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, Mary.
We're
Come on,
waiting.
Steve. But at any rate, Galactic Hunter, they on their blog, they've kind of updated it with this short list of rumored figures for 2008. There's some fan favorites here. A Tatooine creature pack from Jabba's Palace. There's a lot of Rebel pilots and Jabba's Palace denizens here in this list, like Ula, Yarna Gargan. There's Hobby. There's Tyree. There's Arvel Krynid. And, there's some Ewoks, too. Did we mention those?
Yes.
Ewok with Walklings. My wife is going to be so happy that they finally made Walklings.
Yes.
That's her favorite part of Return of the Jedi, is seeing the little baby Ewoks. And then an Ewok 2-pack. So we'll have the... we may have a link on our show notes. I'm not sure how that works.
I don't know. We'll see.
But at any rate, you heard it here. Now, this is...
And if it doesn't come true, you did not.
That's right. And I would say this list seems almost too good to be true.
It does.
I mean, there's a lot of really obscure characters here. And it just seems an odd play, but we'll see. That would be great. Now, there's also a rumored funeral pyre Darth Vader with snap-on flames. Not making this up.
Did you just do this? Come on! Snap on!
No. Snap-on flames as in, not like clap-on flames. Snap-on flames like the super battle droid, the 30th anniversary, you know, with the R2 and shooting the flames.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm there.
So, now that would be very, very cool. That would be very cool. Also, some others like Princess Leia, the Imperial Captive, Luke Skywalker, Detention Block Rescue, Han Solo, Detention Block Rescue, Chewie, Imperial Prisoner. So some of these are some battle pack rumors. So, you know, chalk it up to rumor. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
It's rumor.
I mean, we're a long ways off from 2008. I would not be complaining if this turned out to be the truth, but who knows?
Who does know?
I do know one thing. I think it's about time for the mail.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
Well, the emails and the Star Wars tales and the feedback and all that good stuff just keeps piling in.
And we love it.
Yeah, the emails are coming in so fast we can't... We really wanted to, when we first started this, to try to get to all the emails. And it's getting to the point where we just can't.
A reply to every email, but...
So please don't take it hard if you don't get a reply. I mean...
And it may come like 3 or 4 weeks later. We're sorry about that.
Yeah, but I mean, we try to get... We do read them all. We do, and I'm not about to set up an autoresponder.
No.
And I hope you're all with me on that. I mean, if you don't hear anything and you don't get, you know, your mailer demon back, you know that you know, the email came through. We got it, or the voicemail came through. So I hate those.
Yeah.
Your message has been received. You know, it's like, oh, thank you. It's very personal of you.
Yes.
But anyway, we're going to kick things off with our Star Wars tales. This is Brandon in Texas. He's got a Star Wars tale to share.
Hi, this is Brandon from Lewisville, Texas, about 20 minutes away from Dallas. And I just wanted to tell you one of my Star Wars tales. I've had a few, but the most recent one is the comic convention or... the sci-fi convention that they have here periodically throughout the year. They had a fan days about 3 weeks ago during spring break, and hearing that the infamous Chewbacca actually moved here from England, we decided to, me and a friend of mine decided to head down, and for some reason the name it escapes me, but you know, normally I can rattle off actors, you know, real easily, but
Peter Mayhew.
We went down, and a lesson learned: bring money to one of these things. The apparently they charge, not get in. Yeah, it's real cheap to get in, free because of the fan days. But he was charging $20 to $50 for autographs. But I got to shake his hand. I got to talk to him for a second, and you guys said you didn't really have much experience with him, but from my experience, he's not too happy. It was the second day of a 2-day convention, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt to say that, you know, he was tired of sitting there all day. I mean, it's not like, you know, he looked like he was walking around. He was telling people that he wanted to go home, that he was, you know, pretty much tired of pictures and whatnot. But, you know, if that's not the case, then, you know, I really hope that would be the case, that he was just tired. He wasn't all that nice, but seemed like he was there because, you know, he likes the fans, not just because of a paycheck. But I also wanted to say that I just started listening about a week ago, and I actually subscribed a while back, but I actually just started listening. It backed up for a while, so I've been catching up, and I like the impressions, especially the Luke impressions and the Lucas impressions. They're actually pretty good. But just let you guys know that people down in Texas are listening, and may the force be with you.
Well, there you go.
Those are all your impressions that he likes.
He hasn't heard your Sean Connery yet.
Well,
though.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have an overwhelming response.
I don't know
that.
If it was just the headphones or what, but I thought it was actually pretty good from where I was sitting.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, this is interesting. I mean, here you got,
it's a little different response.
A little different response about Peter.
I'm Peter Mayhew, and I play Chewbacca.
Wow, that's really obscure.
Hey, we're stretching for... We're doing impressions of the guys that did impressions.
We're in the suits.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, at any rate, I mean, you know, this goes to show we play the good, the bad, and the ugly here at the Forcecast.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it very well may be, I mean, that he was just having an off day. These guys are going to have off days. But, hey, if he's, you know, typically a jerk, then, you know, that's not cool.
Right. Fans will let him know. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, right. Well, Brandon certainly did. Got a few shorter Star Wars tales this week. Pete, you want to take the next one? Or?
Sure, I'll take the next one. This comes to us from Tristan in Rochester, Minnesota. And he says, first of all, good job on the podcast. Yes, I realize everyone says that. I never get tired of hearing it, though, Tristan. Everybody could say it. I'm fine. He says, I'm 14, and about 8 years ago, my grandmother and I were shopping for something for a piano recital. Anyway, I was looking through the Star Wars Episode I figures, and I had wanted the Jar Jar figure since I had seen it. So I grabbed it and I begged, and she finally said fine. So we ran home, and my grandma didn't realize what she had done until a month later when I had about 50 figures. So
that's how it starts.
Yeah, that is how it starts. And that's how my collection got started. And I'm sure my mom, looking back on it now, would have been much happier. Actually, my mom supports my collecting. Yeah. My dad would be much happier if I just bought stocks or something.
Softly. There's a John Hughes 1980s movie in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Oh, boy.
I don't want your life. I want my Star Wars toys. Oh. All right, well, I'll take this next one. This is Derek from New Jersey. He's like, I'd like to say that I really enjoy your podcast. I listen to it every week. As well you should, Derek. Anyway, here's my Star Wars tale. It started when I was 9 years old and my family took a trip to Disney World. I was a big Star Wars fan. Episode 1 was only about a year away at the time. And I was thrilled when I laid my eyes on Star Tours. I rode that ride at least 4 times in a row, and I got a set of these plastic toys with gray bottoms. Well, the years passed on, and I moved into another house, and I lost my Boba Fett figure. Since it looked like my family wasn't going back to Disney anytime soon, I had to live with not having the complete set. However, at my new school, I met a new friend who was also a huge Star Wars fan. We went to see Attack of the Clones together at midnight. We would talk about new Clone Wars novels and the Cartoon Network show, and when I got Attack of the Clones for Christmas, we'd stay up all night watching all the movies, sans Episode 3, obviously. Anyway, summer 2004, my friend went with his uncle to Disney World. When he came back, he told me he had a gift. For me. To my surprise, it was the Boba Fett I was missing from my collection. He said he had noticed I was missing it when he was looking at my collection. Needless to say, I put the Boba Fett at the front of my collection shelf where it still sits today. Anyway, I wanted to chime in. Keep up the great work, guys. I love every minute of it, Derek. How cool.
That's so awesome.
I didn't have a friend like that in high school. I didn't know you. You would have been that friend.
Yeah, we would have been those friends together. So
yeah, no, that's a great story.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of cool that the friend just noticed that he was missing that.
Yes.
But, yeah. I mean...
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thanks for the tale, Derek. Pete, I think we got a couple more. You want to take the next one?
Yes, this comes from Gerald from Austria. And he says, you know, we often will play the voicemails. He says, I decided not to because my pronunciation would have been a bad impression of its own. So, well, we love bad impressions here at the Forcecast, so send them on. But anyway,
Austria.
He says his tale is, I was too young when Episode 4 came out, and my mom didn't let me see Episode 5 at first, so my first theatrical experience with Star Wars was Return of the Jedi. Luckily, our local cinema decided to show all 3 films within 4 weeks. So, excuse me, so I would be able to see
choking
the whole,
over there? Yeah, what's going on?
I'm getting a little choked up in that last one. So I would be able to see the whole saga at once. But they showed it in the wrong order. 6, then 5, then 4. So I wondered, who is this female bounty hunter named Boosh that frees this guy in the Blackstone Block? And I was by no means surprised when I heard the probably most surprising words in the whole saga, I am your father. Insert bad impression here. There you go. So it took me another 13 years until the special edition came out to see the original trilogy in cinema in the correct order. Nevertheless, I love all the films, all six of them, and I hope I always will. So,
huh. I've been like, what a jip.
Why would they play them in reverse order? It's not like they couldn't have gotten the prints to the originals before that. Like,
they can't count? I mean, they didn't know their Roman numerals or something? Of course.
Oh, this one's number four. I gotcha. I'm with you.
Oh, man. That's rough. That's a rough Star Wars tale. We should send him something for that. He needs therapy.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
Star Wars therapy.
On the next Forcecast, a very special episode of the Forcecast.
Did your dad make you buy stocks instead of Star Wars figures?
did the moronic theater manager reverse the order of the films during this? Oh, gosh.
Did you lose your Boba Fett? It's all coming full circle.
It is. I tell you what, Jimmy Mack, there you've heard it. There's our next promo. Okay, switching gears here. We've got some just regular listener mail, some feedback here. We're going to start off with Jerry Stevens sent us this voicemail. Take it away, Jerry.
Hey, guys. This is Jerry Stevens, listener of the Forcecast. First time I've called in. I've been listening to you guys, I think, since about September. And just want to say I really enjoyed the podcast. And you may possibly remember me. I did send an email back in late October about a Star Wars tale, about having my 30th birthday landed on the day that episode 3 was released, and had a big party with my buddies, and we just hung out, watched movies, and played Trivial Pursuit all day, more or less, and it's a lot of fun. But hey, I did have a kind of a suggestion with possibly for maybe one of your podcast or microcast rather, with C4 coming around the corner. You guys have been giving a lot of great tips and suggestions and whatever. And I thought maybe it might be an interesting microcast to maybe pull all those suggestions together, just as something I think maybe myself and a bunch of others would enjoy listening to as they're gearing up just weeks before the convention. That'd be a pretty cool idea. And then also, I really enjoyed the intro to EU that Jay Shepard had done. I was wondering if there was a way you guys could pull together like a compilation of those segments he did. I believe there were 7 or 9 of them or whatever that he did, and I just think that'd be kind of a cool microcast to have, something I'd probably just keep in my iPod for reference, whatever. So just a couple ideas, and enjoy the show, and keep up great work. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, those are excellent ideas. So good, in fact, that we're probably going to do them.
They are in the works.
Yeah, they are in the works.
And we'll probably be part of our C4 hodgepodge that we're working on. So
yeah, we've got a fantastic kind of a C4 primer that is hopefully going to entertain me while I'm hurtling at several hundred miles an hour across the country. It's not normal. It's not right.
Well, you make it sound like you're in a World War II biplane, and it's going to be the wind's going to be rushing through your hair.
That's what it might as well be that to me.
No, it's not. I mean, you're sitting in a cabin. It's like riding in a car.
It is not. I have flown before. You know, I used to hear that all the time. It's just like sitting in your living room. Yes, if your living room was 5,000 feet up in the air, 500,000 feet in the air, well, whatever it is.
You just have to play through the illusion. So,
yeah. How far up is it? 50,000 feet,
No, we're
right?
not going to talk about that.
100,000 feet?
Yes,
more than that?
Yes, it's 7.5 miles in the air.
Is it really?
You can actually reach out and touch the moon.
Oh, God.
No, it's 35,000.
We better go to the voicemail from Ed.
Yes.
I got to go relieve myself.
Hey there, Jason and Pete. It's Ed here in Geelong, Australia, and I think I've got my Skype mic working now. Otherwise, I'm just talking to my computer. Anyway, I just want to say it's great to hear you back on air. And you were talking about Starship Troopers. Just it actually wasn't James Van Der Beek. I think you might be thinking of Casper Van Dien, maybe. He was in... He was in Starship Troopers, but that's an aside. What I do want to say is that I got to see the opening night of the one-man Star Wars trilogy as part of the Melbourne... the 501st were there. It was a full house, and it was everything you guys said it was. It was absolutely fantastic. The way he transformed each scene, you know, without sets or props or anything like that was... spectacular. I only had two. One thing was poor old Luke. Poor Luke gets a lot of... It's I feel sorry for Mark Hamill. He's an awesome actor, and he doesn't get enough love, in my opinion. But the only disappointment was Lando. What happened to Lando in the show? He was like, I don't know. It was he's a main character, Lando, but there was, I think it could have benefited from your impersonation of Lando in the show, because he was just sort of, I don't know, just looked over a little bit, I felt, because Lando's a man. He's the man. That's, anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. But I love the show, and if anyone, well, it's finished now in Melbourne, but if anyone gets to see it, I can certainly recommend it. And actually, I went to see Puppet Up, which is the Jim Henson puppet show, Uncensored, the next night. And they did a really good improv sketch about that. Tap dancing auditions for Star Wars for George Lucas, which was pretty cool. So, anyway, just thought I'd give you a call and say, you know, you guys are great. The show's great. And just a quick question. Just when I decided to start collecting the Ralph McQuarrie concept action figures, they decided to make an exclusive for C4. Does that mean, do you know if any of those are going to get outside of C4 or Celebration Europe, because I can't afford to get there this year, unfortunately. So, and same with the Yavin Loop. Just when I started to collect the sites, anyway, I'm a little bit disturbed, but that's all right. Keep up the good work and bring on the Lando. See you guys.
You know, we Star Wars collectors, we love to get all riled up about stuff like that. You know, because you were joking with me last week about getting negative and stuff. It's only because I love it.
Right.
It's only because I care.
It's out of passion, and that's really what creates a lot of negativity sometimes. It's just that you're so concerned about what's going on, and you're so passionate about it that...
Right.
That you just get bought in.
You take
in.
Like ownership. Like, yeah. You know, this is mine.
Absolutely.
But we want to thank Ed for that review of Charlie's show. And a couple of interesting things about that. I mean, we appreciate the fact that you know,
we were right
about it. And it is an incredible show. But, you know, Charlie does kind of, you know, lampoon. He lampoons all, you know, everybody. Not Lando, though. We'll get to that. But he does kind of give Luke a hard time. But when we went out to dinner with Charlie after the show, we talked about that a great deal, about how he feels about Mark Hamill. He loves Mark Hamill.
He has a lot of respect for his acting.
And he gets angry at people that diss Mark Hamill, because, you know, he goes through this, he went through this story with us about, you know, his research on what, you know, Mark was going through, especially filming Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And just that shoot was just awful. They had no idea. Of course, it came off just beautifully, the Dagobah shoot, but they had no idea while they were filming it that it was working or that it was going to work. And so, you know, Charlie really took that to heart, and is a big admirer and fan of Mark Hamill, particularly his performance in the film. So don't worry about that. Now, as far as Lando goes,
sorry, baby, it's just business.
You know, tough choices need to be made.
Yeah, that's right.
And our favorite Baron Administrator that he is didn't make the cut.
Well, you know, it's only an hour long,
right?
So, you know. And Charlie talked about that too. That how much he would love. He actually talked about sometime doing a special edition,
right,
of it, and which would be hilarious, which would be great, you know, and adding in all the things that he wanted to do but had to cut. So,
yeah, but you know, it's an incredible show. If you have a chance to see it, definitely check it out. Yeah, you will not regret it. And our final email of the week comes to us from Pete. You want to take this one?
Sure. This one comes from Steve in the UK. Sorry, he had a couple of things. Anyway,
yep.
He says, hey, Jason, Pete, hope you are keeping well. Just a short email with a request. I'm a keen listener to the podcast and think they are great. You guys are always make the week go faster with a lot of laughs. I have a friend at work who is a huge Star Wars fan and who builds his own lightsabers. Recently, he got hooked up.
Hope he's not that guy.
Not getting sued anyway. Recently, he got hooked up.
You all right?
There's a couple frogs in the air, apparently.
We could edit jump that out, but you know what? At this stage.
At this point, you've tuned us out already anyway. Anyway. he recently got hooked up with an iPod, so I told him about this fine podcast, and he just had to subscribe to. Anyways, he now has and is becoming a huge fan of your work over there, and it always means after we have listened to you, guys, we can sit down and discuss what's gone on and our views about them. We're both going to Celebration Europe, and we'll spread the word of your podcast to anyone who will listen, and even if they won't, there's always Jedi mind control. So getting back to the request, could you please give a big shout out to my Star Wars buddy, Paul Cowley, and myself, as you would think it great to be a part of the show, no matter how small. So there's your shout out.
Paul Steve, Cowley.
Steve, Paul Cowley in the UK. We love our UK Ow! Listeners.
Paul Cowley. Cowlone.
So thanks, Steve. We really appreciate it, and we really appreciate you spreading the word, because that's going to be the best way for people to hear about us is just recommendations from you, our listeners.
Tell it. Forcecast.
Go tell it on the mountain.
That's right. Our Forcecast evangelists will be out there spreading the word in lieu of us being at Celebration Europe. I just can't fly across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm sorry.
That's just not happening. But no. Hey, there's no mountains there.
And if you... Yeah, they're all underwater
between here and UK. So,
well, if you'd like to contact us here at the Forcecast, Jimmy Mack is going to tell you how.
This is the Forcecast. Contact Jason and Pete now. Leave a message or MP3 with your Star Wars tales, comments, and questions.
Hearing my Star Wars tale on the podcast last Friday really made my day. And considering that I just recently found out about getting recommended for Navy Officer Cannon School, OCS, for surface warfare, but being on this Forcecast happened to be more exciting for me than my future career. I guess being such a Star Wars fan and hearing my voice on the Forcecast really made me feel like part of something larger.
The Forcecast. Better than a job promotion.
Email the Forcecast crew. Podcast@theforce.net. Leave a voicemail. 330-871-4TFN. Using Skype? Look us up. Forcecast. All one word. It's the weekly Forcecast.
That's going to do it for us. Want to direct you to a couple of different things. Check out our forums over at rebelscum.com. You want to look in the miscellaneous section. It's always nice to know where we rank, huh? Yeah, just stick them in the miscellaneous section. There's not much else like these guys. But no, it's a really great community, a friendly community of Star Wars fans, collectors, and listeners of this show. So it's a great place to talk to Pete and I and exchange ideas and views about the show. So make sure you do that. Also, check out, we have a new YouTube channel. We have our own YouTube channel. It's just a few things That's up right amazing. Now. Yeah, isn't it? But check it out at, all one word now, The Force Net. The Force Net. No dot in there. We weren't clever enough to put DOT in there, I guess.
Well, you know.
The Force Net at YouTube. There are some fantastic videos, the courtesy of Mark and Kay. And they're unbelievable. Very, very funny stuff where they've actually taken audio from the Forcecast and done this great animation to it. So it's very, very cool. So check those out. Also, keep digging us over at dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. It's a great place to write reviews of the individual episodes, dig individual episodes, dig the whole show if you're a new listener. And, of course, can't go wrong with writing a review on iTunes. And, Pete, how else can they contact us?
Well, you can check us out on our MySpace pages. These are all at myspace.com/, and you can put in Jason Swank, all one word, Peter Nadel, all one word, and Jimmy Mack Radio. So, again, that's myspace.com/. Jason Swank, Peter Nadel, or Jimmy Mack Radio.
Well, I think that's about all she wrote. Sending us out here is going to be the Boosh Mix. And Pete, do you know who sent us that?
That is from Andy in Rochester, New York. So thanks very much, Andy. It's awesome.
It's very, very cool. For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
You're dull. Hey, your dog.
A bounty hunter named Bush.
Your dog. Your dog. Hey, your dog.
He agrees.
Ah, yes, Kachong Kawawoki.
Zebus. 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 Zebus.
Duke Chuck.
Hey, 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 hey.
Helmeted bounty hunter named Bush.
50,000, no less.
Bounty hunter, bounty hunter, bounty hunter, bounty hunter, bounty hunter named Bush.
Because he's holding a thermal detonator.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.